This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, folks. According to a WWL TV news report, David Hammer, investigative reporter, revealing a follow-up investigation on a report that was done relative to an incident that occurred on December 14, 2019, whereby a turbine explosion knocked out a major source of electricity for New Orleans drainage pumps. And what was the cause of same? Joining us to talk about that is Harold Bosworth, local civil engineer, has worked with the watchdog group levees.org for a number of years. Harold, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. Thanks for having me on. I hope you've been well.
I have, and I hope you have as well, and surviving the craziness of the pandemic for sure.
Oh, yes.
So, Harold, I was reading through this, and there seems to be a difference of opinion, but I, like you, what you say, or were reported saying in this article, this raises, I think, some really significant concerns about the process, the operational plans, whether or not we're doing mock drills, whether or not we actually have information provided to these folks that are supposed to be operating all of this equipment. I mean, just a whole host of different things. So what brought us to this point where we are, where this report is revealed?
Well, years ago, we had the August flood. Everybody was pointing fingers at everybody and wondering what happened. Was it the catch basins? Was it clogged pipes? And some digging unearthed a series of failures on the Sewerage and Water Board's pump station makeup, where, you know, so many pumps were out at so many stations and they weren't turned on and no one was there to turn it on. And at that time, news articles came out and described the sort of the dysfunction of how the Sewerage and Water Board was managed at the time. Operators would complain about not having an owner's manual or operation manual to start the drainage pumps, that switch the power on the drainage pumps. Sometimes before switching the power, they'd have to actually spin the drive shaft in the right direction to make sure it didn't start going in the wrong direction. It's just a multitude of weird things that they would have to do to make everything work. Now, for the longest time, you and I both probably thought, hey, the Sewerage and Water Board knows their stuff. They can get rid of drainage water like nobody's business. You know, they've got a team of people that, you know, they're seasoned and know what they're doing. But the people that could do it back when we were younger apparently are gone. And now you've got guys that weren't necessarily trained and have been operating the pump stations, the turbines and whatnot, with minimal training, minimum oversight, and minimum set of procedures. And what we found out here, in fact, a year and a half ago when this turbine blew up, I talked to a number of buddies, that's what consulting engineers do, and said, okay, did they ruin the turbine? They said, no, they didn't ruin the turbine. The turbines are pretty stout. They're like the inside of an engine. But they definitely blew the muffler apart. And we could see from the nearby street that the silencer, if you will, the muffler on this turbine was in pieces, you know, hanging down, broken, split open. You could see right through, you could see daylight through the other side of it. And this is from, you know, hundreds of feet away. So you knew something went wrong. You hoped that the turbine survived. And, of course, you know, the turbine was, they tried to start the turbine on a Saturday. And after a Friday night in New Orleans, not everyone is working to the best of their ability on a Saturday morning when suddenly they have to go in and turn this thing on. The operator was probably working alone, which is not the best procedure, not the best practice, if you will, you know, to start a multi-million dollar piece of equipment all by yourself, you know, following something that you remember what to do, but, you know, we're all humans. We can all make mistakes. And from the report, and ABS, which is the American Bureau of Shipping, produced a very good report that described, it didn't point the finger as directly as you would if you were a reporter or a lawyer, but it definitely gave scenarios which some were unlikely, some were most likely, and the most likely scenario is that, hey, this guy turned this, you know, started the sequence. You start the turbine by there's an engine, a starter engine, if you will, that our starter motor that starts spinning this thing in the right direction. And then you turn this valve, and you turn this valve, and you turn this, and you adjust this, and you adjust this. First order of business is to turn the main gas flow valve on all the way and let the control valves do their job as this thing is purged and brought up to speed and all that other stuff. Now, I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but
right.
The long and short of it is he was working all the other valves, and all indications are the main gas valve was off through most of his sequence. Then he realized, oh, crap, I got to turn the main valve on. Well, bad things happen when you've got all the other valves wide open and you get the sudden rush of gas. You've got spark plugs that are flickering. And, you know, it's lucky the guy didn't get hurt.
And this event, you know, ended up causing not only damage to the facility, but damage to the surrounding area. And obviously, ultimately, in a time of need for this particular energy source, it wasn't available, right?
No, it hasn't been available since that day. Yeah, we depend on the Sewerage and Water Board generating their own power for their facilities, you know, which was, you know, was something that was done, you know, near 100 years ago, because the power company at the time wasn't as dependable as we think the power company is now, which was not a bad choice on their part. You know, if they generate the power and they supply the power to their pumps and they know their pumps and they know their turbines and everybody is, you know, all American trained, you know, war veterans from World War I or World War II, and they know what they're doing with turbines and they know what they're doing with engines and they really know their stuff, that all works fine. Well, you don't necessarily have those guys there now. And so you've got the management should have adapted once the old guard left, in my opinion. And
so what this reveals is a total lack of succession planning. But more importantly, what it revealed to me is that, as you pointed out, when you're dealing with multi-million dollar pieces of equipment, that there's an operational checklist or some guide by which you go by. I mean, you know, I sit there in a jet and watch the pilot with his checklist sitting on his leg, going through all of the checklist items, because you don't want to just rely on memory, right? I mean, you go
right
through this, you know. If they haven't, and they didn't have a checklist, they're working on it now, and they didn't do these other things in order to make sure that the sequence and the series of events that they needed to adhere to for safety purposes and the proper functioning of the equipment.
Right.
One has to ask whether or not they've ever done any mock exercises. I mean, you can simulate this. I mean, it's a fairly standard thing. And practice going through the process. I'm curious whether or not they've done that.
It's hard to say. You know, 10, 15 years ago, they may have trained a couple of guys who then had opportunities to make, you know, 30, 40, 50% more in, you know, working at a power plant or working at a refinery or working at a chemical plant, and they left. And it's kind of hard to keep good talent if your pay scale is limited. So they may well have trained these guys, but you train guys to do what you need done, and then they leave, then you're stuck with, uh-oh, now what do we do? The guy who trained you is gone. You're gone. All you have is a general superintendent who may or may not have, you know, training and, you know, turbines and large engines and whatnot, because these things are bigger than locomotives. These are huge machines.
Sure, I get it. But these are not things unique to this particular circumstance. I mean, what you do is you have succession planning. You do train the trainers. You continue to stay on top of this, or otherwise, you know, and I guess I bring it up in this landscape. Today at 4:20, President Biden's going to be visiting a sewage and water board facility. We can have all of the infrastructure money we ever wanted, but if we don't have the operational safeguards to operate this equipment effectively and efficiently and appropriately,
And a management system.
I don't care how many pump stations you build me, because if we're going to have a level of incompetence relative to operational guidelines of this equipment, it could be the best equipment in the universe. Doesn't do any good if we don't know how to operate it.
No, I mean, you and I can get into a cockpit of a big jet and we wouldn't get off the ground.
No.
We wouldn't know how to do that.
Yeah.
I'm speaking for me. I'm assuming that you're not a jet pilot.
No. Well, but, you know, the point, it highlights the point, though, is that there's still a level of competence that in the governance of this system that's going to be required. And I can't imagine, after all of the incidents that we have, that we've had, that, as you just outlined in that timeline, we're still talking about this today.
Yes, it's not a good story, but it's a story that is important, and it's important to be focused on it as people of the city, and to, you know, hold our leaders and the managers over at the Sewage and Water Board as accountable as practical, you know, to get this job done and get it done right. You know, I was sad to see some time ago Bob Turner leave the Sewage and Water Board. I know from working with him, he's a sharp guy and, you know, and does the right thing. And it may have been too frustrating for him, but I don't know. But it was sad to see him go.
Yeah. You know, I mean, everyone is lobbying and trying to make sure that we get the dollars necessary and to focus on infrastructure. And I've said from day one, it's not just the equipment. You got to be able to maintain it. You got to be able to operate it. And you got to make sure, you know, figuratively speaking, it's clicking on all cylinders every day.
Right, and managing all of that is
its intended purpose. You never get the maximum out of it.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Harold, we will have you on again. I was just kind of curious about this report. Is there going to be a hearing on this, do you know, or are they going to get to a definitive answer?
I don't know. You know, certainly the answers are there in the American Bureau of Shipping report, the ABS report that Mike Hammer has discussed. David Hammer, I'm sorry.
David Hammer, yeah.
Has discussed. Will there be a hearing? Who knows? It's just, you know, if we light the torches, I would imagine, and warm up the tar.
I don't know, man. I can't explain this one. But thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate your time and your insight, as always.
My pleasure, Norman. Take care.
All right. Okie doke. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll be right back. Want to hear from you.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.